Mosier Media Studios, uploaded to the internet, downloaded into your hearts. This is episode number 8 of Warpath Podcast. I'm Anthony LaGuardia, joined by Adam Gokowski, Nick Pietrovoya, Boston Red Sox fan, Danny Prenzo.
Boo.
Yeah, do we start booing now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll give him a little bit of time, you know, let him break his teeth, you know, or cut teeth. Don't break your teeth.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Dan Prenzo is a good buddy of mine from high school. Happy to have him in here. One of my best friends, and this is excellent to have him in here. Long, long time we've talked Indians and Red Sox, and it's great to be able to do it on my terms now. So, behind the golden microphones of Warpath Podcast. But Nick, Adam, how you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Just finished up my first full marathon this past Sunday, so I'm still feeling the pain from that. And let me tell you, that's what it is pain. After 26.2 miles and 85 degrees, wasn't feeling too good after that for the last couple days, actually, but almost back to normal now, and the Tribe has been on such a roll that I didn't even think about it that much. I was watching a lot of baseball, and I'm pumped.
It's a lot of ice time with the
there was a little bit of ice time. Yep.
I know a couple people that that ran in it, but none of them that ran as long as you did or as fast as you did. So I heard you were Grease Lightning. The Italian was just going crazy.
Well, I am called the Italian Stallion.
That's only by your wife. I mean, that's
true. That's a different reason. But anyways,
Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I can't compare to a marathon, but my only fitness news is I will be going vegetarian again all summer long.
Whoa!
Yeah, everything I gained from for those who didn't know, I gave up meat for Lent and pop and dropped about 15 pounds, and I gain a little bit more in half the time. So I figured, you know, let's see what the summer can bring.
Well, that's why during the first few podcasts, Adam sounded so weird. So get ready. It's going to be summer weirdness going back to vegetarian.
That's dangerous. You can't even eat a hot dog at the ball game then.
You know, it is what it is, you know.
I heard they got the vegan dogs now, so.
All right.
I could do vegan.
There you go.
Yeah, I can do
there
vegan.
There you go. So, welcome to everybody. Thank you for joining us. We're excited to be here. Like Nick said and like Adam said, it's just been an awesome couple weeks of baseball. For the Indians, they've just been on a roll since, I think they said, April 20th. The Cleveland Indians have had the best record in baseball, which when we started out, I know that sitting in here, we were excited, nervous, excited, nervous again. And now, I mean, we're just on a roll. It's been an awesome couple series to watch. I mean, last night may have been the most boring, god-awful game that I've ever watched when we went out there. Who was it? It was Kazmir last night versus...
No, it was Kluber.
Or Kluber, I'm sorry. Kluber.
Did you say Kluber?
No, I said Kluber.
Okay.
You and I said Kluber at the same time. It just morphed into Kluber.
Exactly. Exactly. So, no, it was... God, that was god-awful. It was just a horrible game to watch, but I got a feeling that tonight, you know, Ubaldo's going to go back out there, and who would have thought that this guy was doing what he's doing? But before we get into baseball... we've got to start off with the beer of the podcast. The three Warpath podcast guys are drinking Edmund Fitzgerald from the Great Lakes Brewing Company. And the Boston Red Sox guy is drinking Budweiser. But that's all right.
Oh, that's lame.
That's right. Danny, I actually had to laugh. I almost brought in Sam Adams for you.
There you go.
But to be fair to Danny worked for a long time for the House of La Rose,
yes.
Was a Bud rep. So, you know, he's...
Actually, Budweiser was great then.
Oh, yeah.
Because we'd like to have House of La Rose as a sponsor.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Danny, we're going to be asking you to do a little sales for Warpath Podcast.
See what I can do.
But, Danny, tell us a little bit about yourself. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm going to...
This is going to take a while.
Nick, what the heck is this thing?
It's called a can opener.
That's nice.
Bottle opener.
I've known girls that are a better can opener. All right, so...
It's a Swiss Army knife. You can't get much cooler than that.
All right, here you go. So, that was good. All right, so Danny.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, your love for the Red Sox. Where did this come from?
Well, first got to say this. I come from a family of, my dad's side, are Yankees fans.
Mm.
So I know that I'm getting a little bit more hate, some dirty looks here. My mom's side, unfortunately, they are Indians fans, the entire side.
Oh, that's nice. That's good.
I'm not going to lie, the 90s were absolutely hell on earth, brutal for me.
I remember.
You know, so But for me, it actually, it began in 86 for me with Roger Clemens. And I know that name is really bad nowadays. So, but I liked the Red Sox beginning in 86. And it was because of Roger Clemens. And that was his breakout year. Went 24-4. Red Sox go to the World Series.
So no matter your family, the half likes the Indians, the other half like the Yankees, and you said, I don't care, I'm going to go Red Sox.
Somebody had to be different.
All right.
And I guess maybe that's maybe my niche.
That's kind of funny that you went against your dad, though. You're like, you like the Yankees? I like that.
Actually, I got to give props to Danny because I hate the Yankees, and I thank God that he didn't become a Yankees fan.
Well, I was going to say, my dad and my brother, and then my dad's whole side, so... they are Yankees fans. So, you know, then like I said, for 86, Red Sox go to the World Series. The ball goes through Buckner's legs in game six. Yeah, it was tough. So, you know, then like I said, then I somehow, some way survived the 90s. I used to go up there, go to the games. I was actually at game one of the 95 playoffs.
When Tony Pena went deep?
Yeah, off of Zane Smith.
That was a great game.
Yeah. Fortunately, I bailed after the ninth inning, you know, so I wasn't there for, you know, Yeah, so, but, you know, it's, the 2000s have been pretty good to me, so.
Yeah, they haven't been too bad, and it's going to be good to have you in here because you can talk Francona a little bit with us and a couple of the other players, which is good. That's, it's good to have you in here, and I can't, I mean, you look at a guy like Roger Clemens, the guy was a stud, whether there was, you know, steroids, whatever you want to say, involved. The guy was just a stud, a workhorse. You know, you can't be that good of a pitcher relying only on steroids. You've got to have some kind of talent. So,
right.
And we were 10 years old at that time, so that's kind of the coming of age for a kid of when you choose your allegiances. So, and it was the team that was there. I mean, you know, I just chose differently at the time. But I lived a little bit north of you, so I mean, maybe in Stowe we were a little closer to Cleveland.
Yeah. Well,
but what the question is, who's your favorite football
team? Well, this is interesting. When we were growing up, this was one of my only friends that was a Steelers fan, and he changed on me at some point.
What did he transform into?
You don't even want to know.
It's not the team, though.
It's the player.
Yeah, it's because of a player.
He's got... Okay, so you know our man crush for Vinny Pastano.
Mm-hmm.
He's got one for a brunette-haired, flowing quarterback that's married to a model.
Tom Brady. Okay, so you go Boston for both baseball and football.
And pretty much basketball, I think, too. So he's a Boston guy.
All right.
Yeah. You know, so he's all around.
I can handle Patriots.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm keeping quiet till trash talk. I just want to put that on record.
Well, we're going to get into a little bit different something else before baseball. Also in the studio, we're actually being filmed right now. It's the first podcast that we've done where we've got a camera in here. It's funny. We're in a videography company, and our app, 529 app, is here. Renee Saxon and Jenny Kobachi, they are videotaping us for, I'm guessing, for advertisements for the 529 app. I got a thumbs up from the hands model. So thank you guys for being in here. It's great to have you in here. We're excited, and we're going to bring Mike Fisner in. Mike is actually somebody that went to high school with Danny and I. And he helped to create the 529 app for Warpath Podcast. So it's exciting.
Make sure you go to iTunes Store and download that Warpath Podcast app.
And if you're on a Droid system, you go to the Play Store and you can download it there.
And you search for Warpath CLE.
Yes. Yeah. Get a lot of information on there to schedule, where to park, what's going on with the team, what's going on with Warpath Podcast. You can listen to the podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. All the latest podcasts are downloaded immediately to your mobile device.
Exactly.
And by the way, we already mentioned 529, but I'd like you to go visit their website at, what is it? 529apps.com.
Excellent. Yeah, please do go. They do a great job. I mean, if you've checked out our podcast app, it is awesome. It really is very cool. It's funny. I've had a couple friends who've been driving across country, and they decided to download the app and listen to the podcast. It was their first chance to be able to listen to the podcast. And
yeah.
It was awesome.
My buddy does that, too, and he was complaining because he was listening to the last show, and I wasn't on, and he was listening to YouTube Jokers, and he said that he didn't like it as much. So hey.
Actually, that's funny. That's the only person I've heard complain that you weren't here.
Yeah, my mother loved it.
Adam got to talk. Yeah. And another funny thing is Adam is actually sitting in a corner of the room. He's standing. He's going between sitting and standing. He's our Robin Quivers today.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Well, somebody did.
Somebody obviously did tonight.
All right. Well, let's talk baseball before. Who is it? Who's in Colorado? It's that would be complaining.
CO Beast.
Say yes before the Beast starts complaining. Eight.
Yeah, the Beast is a nickname. Anton.
Anton, that's it. Yeah, before Anton stops complaining, let's start. Starts complaining. Let's start talking baseball.
He never stops complaining.
That's all right. So the last 2 weeks, the series have been pretty incredible. Last time that we were in here, we were in the middle of the Athletics series. And we were getting to the end of the series. We were wondering about Masterson and Kazmir, who was going to come out on top and sweep the take the win of the series for us. We didn't have to worry about it. They both did the job. Adam?
I think with Masterson, nobody was surprised by that. Problem is with Kazmir right now, with every single start of his. What was the final of the A's game?
The final of which one?
The one that Kazmir won.
One that Kazmir won against the A's was 9-2.
9-2. That was during the day, correct?
That was against Cologne.
Oh, that's right. Okay, because I remember, somebody got murdered.
Yeah, it was Fatolo Cologne.
It was Fatolo. Fatolo. But was it against the Phillies? Which game did Kazmir just get absolutely rocked at?
Kazmir.
That was the Philly series.
That was the Philly series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was like one of those starts you just knew the pitcher didn't have it from the beginning.
Yeah. He's been so up and down. I mean, it's been a roller coaster ride with him where you're going, all right, who is he? Is he the guy from a couple years ago in Tampa Bay that was lights out, or is it the guy who's struggling to come back?
Give him some time. He was injured. He started off the year a little late, and he came off injuries, so he hasn't really pitched very well the last couple years, and he's been injured. So I think we got to give him a little bit of time.
And he's no Brett Meyer.
I'm not worried about He keeps us in the game, at least.
Exactly. Danny, and you can pipe in. I mean, I don't know if you're watching many of these games or not, but,
I am, and, I got to be honest, and I'll just go ahead and put this out there now. It really is tough for me living here with the Indians. It is good for them. They're playing well. I don't like it. I'm not going to lie.
Well, we'll save that one for later on for trash talk.
That's good. If he doesn't like it, that means we're doing something good.
That means we're doing something good, which is very true. It is very true. Kazmir, he's been up and down, but it was an awesome series to sweep that series, take that four. I think they said it was the first time that we'd swept the Athletics and
since 95 in a four game series.
Right.
Ooh, 95.
And that would involve Dennis Eckersley saying "Wow" to Manny Ramirez.
Oh wow,
that's right.
That's how long ago that was.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
That's been some time there. That's Danny and I were just out of high school. That was some time, but then
I was in preschool. It depends. If it was summer, it was about summer 95, so I was between preschool and kindergarten.
Are you serious?
I wouldn't joke about that.
Wow.
Man.
Jesus Christ. the next series up, I got to move past that one.
Yeah.
Tiger series, we took 2-3. Baldo beat Verlander. He did it once. We're gonna see tonight if he can do it again.
I'm not so sure about that happening two times, but... Hey, you never know. He's been doing better a lot lately, and even Ryan, our junior designer at Contempo mm-hmm. Communications, who does a lot of work for the Indians, does a great job. He said today, "Oh, good, Ubaldo's pitching," and we all looked at each other like,
"Really?
Did we ever think that we would ever say that?"
No, I mean, Ubaldo. At the beginning of the season, we were thinking, "All right, how long is he going to be here before they just say the experiment over?"
Right.
And he really has come out, and I think they said in Ubaldo starts this season, they're 6-2.
Well, if he collapses, I still hold strong to the fact that I think they may cut the cord on him because he's doing really well right now, but he's one of those guys that is so shaky that all of a sudden he could lose 6 starts in a row and just get bombed.
Yeah,
so.
his psyche is that fragile that it could. But against Verlander, he was awesome, but, freaking bullpen almost gave it up against the Tigers.
Yeah, that's true. for the bullpen has been a little shaky lately.
Yeah, the bullpen has just been pretty rotten. It's you know, our boy Pestano gives up a bomb. Chris Smith has given up a couple
Joe
bombs.
Smith. You or, put Chris no, Perez sorry, and
Chris
Joe
Perez.
Smith together.
I was about to burp my Great Lakes Brewing Company out, but I was trying to catch it. Lightning a bottle there, hoping nobody caught it. But Chris Perez and Joe Smith all giving up runs late in games. I was there on Monday when Perez got rocked, and that was just brutal. Just brutal. We had customers there, and it was funny. Every one of the customers took off right then.
Really?
And there was five of us sitting in there to watch Yan Gomez smack that one out of the park.
Gomes, he's awesome, man. I love Yan Gomes.
He's just doing
He's
incredible.
A great catcher. You see him throwing those guys out at second base, too?
Yeah, I mean, it's we said it, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
We're not going to see Lou Marston again.
That's why I was leaning on Mike to say that.
Probably not.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd like to see Gomes in there instead of Santana.
I don't disagree.
But at the plate, you can't.
No. But again, he had two dingers.
I know.
In that game on Monday. So, but back to that Tigers series, you know, going up the Tigers' first game, Kluber loses 10-4. That was rough. But they came back. They roughed up the Motor City Kitties 7-6 and 4-3. Jimenez and Smith both got their goodbye, ladies. Have a wonderful evening.
Thanks for coming in. 529 apps.
Yes,
529 apps. I've left the building. Thank you and good night.
See ya.
As I butcher the name, I apologize.
Sorry, we'll edit that one out. Joe Smith gets the win against the Tigers in the final game. And it wasn't that the game where he gave up the lead and then they won
he
it
might
there?
Have, and he still ended up getting
it
the win.
It was Mother's Day.
Yes.
And that's where Boren would cross the plate screaming, and then how did they win it? Was it a Brantley hit or... I'm trying to think of what happened in extras when they took the lead.
That game-winning hit? I don't know.
I don't recall. We
were too busy hanging out with our mothers.
Exactly.
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 But I do know they tied up the ranking with the Tigers.
Tied it up then?
Took over partial first place.
Exactly. We tie it up, and then we get into the Yankees series. And game one of that doubleheader, that old school style doubleheader where you got 20 minutes in between games, you buy one ticket and get into both games. Pretty awesome, unless you had a lot of work to get done at the ballpark and a certain someone staring at you. You could see them looking into your soul going, when is it going to get done?
Ooh.
But, you know, we split the series. Masterson was just masterful.
Yep.
The guy was just dead on. The bats were dead, though.
Bats were flat.
What is it Very against the flat. Yankees? We just can't hit that ball.
All I know is Danny Prinzo's dad was probably pumped. He's probably at the game cheering on the Yanks.
Well, I mean, I'll ask you this. I mean, where did Masterson come from? Where did they get that guy?
He came from Boston.
Boston,
I mean,
yep.
Being as he's, you know, a Boston guy, what's the feeling? Was he somebody that you guys were upset to see leave? Or...
Well, at the time...
You got Victor for him.
Well, I was just going to say, and that was the thing. At the time... You know, getting Victor was a big move for the Red Sox. Giving up Masterson. The problem, the Red Sox really didn't know what to do with Masterson. I'll give the Indians credit there. They were starting him. They were relieving him.
Yeah, he was a long reliever for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was going to say. And then he would get a spot start. And when he came to Cleveland, the Indians just, you know, threw him in the rotation and said sink or swim. To the Indians' credit, to Masterson's credit.
Yeah,
you know,
he's
taken off.
Exactly. Except for last year, it's been a success.
Yeah. I agree with that. And to see him now and, you know, knowing that he came up, like, with Buchholz and Lester, like, around that time, the Red Sox had those guys.
They would have had an incredible rotation.
Right.
So. Yeah. And it's interesting. Where would he have been? I mean, he's the ace on our staff, but in Boston right now, he'd be maybe a number three.
Three.
Yeah. As I say, I mean, yeah, probably two or three.
Two or three.
Yeah. Yeah. It's goes to show what they had, that talent there, you know, where, you know, the difference there in that talent. But then the second game, Trevor Bauer on us. Lost 7-0 to the Yankees, and that was just...
Yeah, but let me interrupt. What was the run? It was like 2-0, maybe even 1-0 until the relievers. That wasn't...
Yeah, actually,
that
you're
wasn't
right.
Him.
Yeah, Bauer didn't give up too many.
He walked a lot.
Yeah.
He gave up the run in the first.
He's
but
a little wild.
He was... One run to like the seventh, and that's where it blew up.
Yeah.
So they were consistent, and they were only losing by one majority of the game until it went to late innings.
Sure, sure. But I think you can't give a team like the Yankees that many at-bats because they start to figure things out. You know, if you're walking players, even if they're not scoring runs, they're seeing that pitch, they're seeing the ball more, and they're getting into the bullpen a lot earlier.
Especially when you're young.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking about the Yanks, too, they just had a walk-off win, I believe, because of Travis Hafner a couple days ago.
Yeah,
I thought that was a tie.
He tied it in the ninth, and then
he actually had the game winning hit.
Oh, he had the game winning hit and the game tying.
Because I was going to say, yeah, it was off of Jim Johnson, off of Baltimore, and then I believe they won it in the 10th.
Wow. Yeah, so
there's that. Encyclopedia of baseball right here.
That's good.
I love it. I love it. We're going to have him back.
Too much time on my hands.
Yeah, Danny's got a little
Adam's
one just
ticked
like
right
me.
Now because he has taken over his role right now.
No, I'm just getting ready for trash talk.
Adam does have this look in his eye. He's just staring.
He was like, I can't believe that he knows so much.
Adam was drinking like before we got here. He was sitting in the lobby.
He was letting F-bombs fly, I heard.
I'm just ready for trash talk. We'll just go from there. We'll just tap me in when it's trash talk.
Tag me in. Then we took on the Phillies after the Yankees. And this is really where we started picking up the wins. You know, we lost the first one to Pettibone. Kazmir lost 6-2. Kluber comes back. Bounces back with a 10-4 win over Cole Hamels, a guy that last year everybody wanted us to trade for.
Oh, that's a good point. Have you noticed that these young arms that we've got, the starters in particular, we got Masterson, Kluber, and we've also got McAllister.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all big guys, you know, 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", maybe.
Yeah.
Big, powerful right-handers. I think the Indians are kind of grooming themselves to be seen as, you know, this arm staff, this big, powerful arm staff.
Yeah, cannons.
You know, yeah, they have cannons. So I kind of like it, you know. We'll see what happens. Kazmir's, you know, a little bit more on the finesse side, but
yeah,
he's a lefty at least, which we need in our rotation. Mm-hmm. We don't have anybody else, and he also is starting to get the velocity up lately, which is excellent because, you know, when we first got him, that was the main knock. He was still under, you know, like 89, 90, 91 maybe. He was actually up to 94, 95, I think, in one of those starts.
Isn't that disgusting, that 90, 91? It's considered to be like, yeah, you're all right.
Yeah.
And you look at some of the old guys, you know, that used to pitch. I mean, they were consistently between that 86 to 92 range and made it, you know, happen. I mean, what do you think? Was Maddux ever really hitting 92, 93 on the radar? Or Glavine?
I was going to say, I mean, they would probably sit in the low 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, but, I don't think they ever got into the mid.
But nobody said, you know, 90, 91.
Yeah.
You know,
you got to have good control like those. I mean, Maddux was a master at control.
Oh.
That was his thing.
Yeah, and Glavine. I mean, both of them were just ridiculous.
And if the ump's giving you 6'8", 10 inches on the outside of the plate, I mean, it's not too difficult.
Yeah, 95 World Series, a perfect example.
Yeah. But, you know, we took out the Phillies. And that started our 6-game win streak up until last night to swept the Mariners. I think what did they say? Was it how many walk-off wins have we now
had
against the
Mariners?
We had
three in a row, didn't we?
We had three in a row.
No, not three in a row. Sunday was not a walk-off.
Oh no, I'm okay.
It was just an ass kicking.
But I mean, it seemed like we couldn't lose. It was impossible for us to lose in any of those games.
You knew.
The guy dropped the ball at first base to end the game.
That was unbelievable, let me tell you. And then they turn around on Monday, and they did it again.
That was Monday.
The last game.
No, Monday we won it on the home run.
Yeah, but.
Oh, to get us there. Get us there. I'm sorry.
Bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
Two outs.
You're right.
A little underhand toss, the pitcher covering that first base, and he drops it.
Easy routine.
Yeah.
I got to say, as many years as I've watched baseball, whether it's high school, college, maybe in Little League, but I've never seen a game end like that where have a chance to end on a flip, and the guy drops the ball.
That was unbelievable. I mean, that almost you almost start to wonder, like, right there, is this, you know, kind of like a year that's supposed to be happening for the Indians? My thought, though, is I looked at my cousin because we were sitting up the suite. All the other customers had left, and we're sitting there, and you know, we've got the suite for 40 people. There's five of us sitting there boozing it up.
I didn't get an invite for that.
You took the day off, or I would have brought you in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't skip school, son.
Yeah, you know, I can't let you play hooky, but now, you know, we're sitting there, and I told him, I says, you know, this is awesome how we're winning with these kind of things, you know, but like a fluke play like that, you can't keep winning like we have been the last bat of the game and hope to win. I was listening this morning. They said we had something like 27 of those in 95.
Wow.
Throughout the year, walk-off wins. But you can't keep doing that, especially right now, because I don't think we're that good to continue this.
Well, when I was watching that game last night, I mean, I'm pretty confident in our lineup. We have a very good hitting lineup. I'm looking at Detroit. They have like an all-star at every position. Oh, all the way through the order, you're like, how are we going to get this guy out? And then all of a sudden, Victor Martinez comes up. And you're like, okay, well, I mean, he's older, but he's going to hit 300. You know, the next guy comes up, and it's Prince Fielder. Like, what the hell? When is there a reprieve?
The thing is, though, when lineups like that, yeah, it looks great on paper, but sometimes the chemistry isn't there, and sometimes there might be too many cooks in the kitchen. Something could go wrong. You might get too many egos. You might, something could happen that nobody can tell because it doesn't look like that on paper.
Yeah.
So if they flake in September, you never know. Look at the Red Sox in 2011.
Right.
That's a prime example right there. You had Crawford, Gonzalez, Pedroia, same kind of deal. Great lineup. They died.
Yeah, but
they were drinking beer and eating chicken wings in the clubhouse.
And they blamed the wrong guy. And thank God they blamed the wrong guy.
Oh boy.
Sounds like a fun time.
I'm trying to get my beer to my mouth, and I started laughing when I knew that one was coming. Yeah, but I still think we can't keep playing this way. We have to now start. The pitching has got to hold up to where if we get a 5-run lead, we can't give that up.
It all comes down to the pitching. That's what we said from the beginning. That's what everybody said. You know, it's just, can they continue? They've been doing fairly well. Can they keep it up the whole year? Can they be consistent? And if Masterson remains fairly consistent as a, you know, viable number one starter in the league, then maybe we can, because we have to have somebody that we can rely on every time.
Yeah.
You know, that is the stopper. If we're in a losing streak, that he's going to come in and say, 8 innings, 1 run, 2 runs, here's a win. You know, just deliver it on a silver platter for us.
Yeah, but again, in this Mariners series, I think it showed us that the bullpen may not be everything that we thought it was. I don't know how you guys feel about Chris Perez. I'm not burying the guy right now. I think it was crap that he went and he got rid of his Twitter account because people were hammering him. I mean, the voice of the Cleveland Indians last year, the loudmouth,
yeah,
can't take it now that he's getting it. You know, you can't go in 2 nights in a row. What was it, 2 nights in a row, or it was 2 of the 4 in the Mariners series?
You can't be a punk and then cry. That's right. The biggest thing. You can't be throwing fists and cry when you get punched back.
Exactly. Exactly. Vinny P, I think maybe it was just a, hey, welcome back to the big leagues. You know, home run.
I mean, both of them, they got to step it up. That's all there is to it. They're not doing too well right now. But I got faith in both of them. I think they'll turn it around.
As long as you do. As long as you got faith. Faith, that's...
Yes. Especially our man, Vinny P.
Yeah. Vinny P. Ooh. All right, and moving on, you know, who would you over the past 2 weeks say is your player? You know, I was kind of looking at the player of the podcast. You know, last podcast we had our players. I had Kipnis. I think you guys had Rayburn. You know, who the past 2 weeks have you guys seen that really is picking up?
Mine is Yan Gomes. The dude has got a cannon. I love to see him in there. He's a great. I mean, I don't think he was even originally a catcher.
No.
In the minors. They've just been, you know, bringing him along. Sandy Alomar's, you know, under his tutelage, he's becoming pretty darn good. And he's got a cannon. He's throwing people out left and right. I don't know what his percentage is. Do you have that stat right off the top of your head? Adam, do you know that?
Stat boy could pull that up here.
Well, all I know is he's got a very high percentage, because every time I watch a game and somebody steals, he throws them out. Yeah. So it's amazing. And at the plate, he's starting to come around. I also have to give a hat tip to Jason Kipnis, who is also bringing his average up, and really he's been hot.
Yeah, Yan Gomes for the season is batting .302 now. He has 9 RBI, 4 home runs, 2 triples, 2 doubles, and 16 hits.
That's not bad. What about the defensive stats?
Defensive stats? They don't give it.
Caught stealing.
Oh, caught stealing.
Well, that's his. That's probably him trying to steal a base. If you look at the.
Yeah, it's not on here. They don't on the Indians. They don't have
the defensive. The defense. I would have to say though, in my eyes, Kipnis and Michael Brantley.
Brantley's good hot. One. Brantley's always
been very, very bad. Very, very hot lately.
He's so consistent that you don't even notice him sometimes. You're like, oh, yeah, Brantley got another hit.
What do they call him? Like Mr. Smooth?
Dr. Smooth.
Dr. Smooth.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how he is with his swing and his personality. He's very calm.
Yeah.
He doesn't choke under pressure. He's going to be the, you know, unsung hero.
I think silently he's building up to where he could be the guy that slides into that all-star position out of the Indians outfield.
Whoa.
I mean, born.
Bourne's playing
Bourne's
pretty
been
darn
playing
good, too.
Pretty, pretty darn good, but Brantley has just been so consistent. You know, it's just, will the fans see it? That's the thing. He's just so smooth, and nobody notices how really good he is. For me, my player of the podcast, again, was Jason Kipnis. The guy's offense has been awesome. I mean, when he gets up there, you just expect a hit, and he's, you know, winning games for us. But also defensively, he has just been incredible. On Monday, he had a catch where it looked like he jumped 10 feet up in the air to take away what should have been a line drive.
He was literally on fire on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The cool thing about it is, and we talked about it a little bit in spring training with all the stuff coming out about the Harlem Shake and everything. The team is gelled so much together, man. They have just really good camaraderie amongst the roster. And I really like what I'm seeing. You know, I think Francona's helped that process along greatly because we have so many new guys, and all of a sudden, they're all just, it seems like they've all been friends for years.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to put on record, when I said his pants was on fire, it was literally on fire. He was standing next to the warmer, and he caught on fire.
Oh. Are you serious?
Yeah, you two were like, oh, yeah, he was hot. No, he was literally on fire. Like, he was standing way too close to the heater in the dugout, caught on fire. Look it up. You'll find it right away.
Well, I'm glad that somebody put him out.
Yeah, I mean,
at least in that sense.
I'm glad that Adam's paying that much attention.
They made a pretty big deal about it.
How did I know?
He had a stop, drop, and roll. No, I'm kidding about that part. But no, his whole, I think it was his like right leg. Huge hole, and they had to replace it.
Oh, yeah, I saw the hole. And so that was because it caught on fire?
Yeah, he stood way too close to the heater. It got set on fire.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, there's a new wrinkle in the brain.
Yeah.
Did not know that one. And let's, you know, before we get into trash talk, let's talk about Francona a little bit. Actually, I was telling Adam earlier, I was down in the USA parking lot below the ballpark where some of the executives park and where deliveries are made, where, you know, I go to take some of the signs. And riding down on his red scooter.
No.
With a lovely lady.
No.
Behind him in tow was our own manager, Terry Francona.
Really?
And it was hysterical because he's like, on the little scooter, you know, running around. And he drove right past me. I'm like, what's up, Terry? He's like, hey, what's up? And he drove right past me. And Nick, I swear to God, he drove the lower concourse all the way to his office on the scooter.
That is awesome.
He just went up the dock on the...
Not too many dudes pick up chicks on those scooters, but apparently Terry can.
I mean,
Brand the man.
It was hysterical. And it was so cool how he was just, you know, like, hey, what's up, man? You know, just driving around, waving to people on a scooter. It was just, I didn't know if we would really see that this season, but I saw him on Monday. It was hysterical. So,
that's pretty cool.
You know, Danny, I mean, from your standpoint, the way things ended off with the Red Sox with Terry Francona.
Yes.
What, do you put it on Terry Francona, what happened to the Red Sox, the crash?
Here's back in the summer of 2011, the trade deadline, they had the best record in baseball, but the pitching was a little dicey. And I said to myself, they better go out and they better get a pitcher. So they go out and they get often injured Eric Bedard from the Mariners. So I kind of thought, okay, that's not good. Buchholz had been hurt at that time, too, for the Red Sox. Stress fracture in his back. They didn't know if he was coming back. And then September happens, and I, at that time, to be honest with you, and I don't know if you and I had ever talked at that time, but I put it more on Epstein than I did Francona. Mm-hmm. It was extremely frustrating because the pitching was absolutely atrocious. And, you know, they're starting pitching. They were going two innings, three innings. And it was – I felt like Francona was just helpless because there was nothing that he could do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it was all said and done, and I have witnesses that will say this. My whole thing was, I was like, okay, it's time for Epstein to go. I want Francona to stay because there is no manager right now that I would rather have. There was no one that stood out to me that I was like, okay, they need to get rid of Francona.
Well, Bobby Valentine.
Please don't go there.
Well, actually, I remember when they brought in Bobby Valentine, and I saw Danny's eyes roll into the back of his head.
The Indians interviewed him when we hired Manny Acta.
I know.
Yeah, that was brutal last year. That actually made me hate baseball, and really? For me to say that. But, you know, with Francona, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, looking at it now, the things that he said, you know, it was time for a new voice. And I really do think that it was time, you know, for him to move on, as much as that pains me. But, you know, I will say I read his whole book last year. It was unbelievable. It was a great book.
Hmm.
He was very honest about a lot of stuff. So,
as manager, did you find him to be? I mean, you say that he was the best that was available, you know, at that point. What was that, two seasons ago?
Yeah.
Where do you rank him among the elites of the managers in baseball right now?
Well, I'll say this. In 2004, they don't win the World Series without Francona.
Really?
That's a bold statement.
It's a very bold statement to say, too.
Well, and the thing is, if you go back in, and trust me, I've watched the games several times, with them being down
3-0, right?
Correct. And some of the things, I mean, he was playing by the out. Like, he wasn't playing for tomorrow, because obviously they couldn't. He wasn't playing for the next inning. He was playing by the out. Like, he was, you know, when they brought in Wakefield to mop up in game 3 and to start Derek Lowe the next day, you know, he was playing it pitch by pitch. And like I said, for them to win that series, that was, I mean, obviously, yeah, they had the talent. I mean, you're not going to win without the talent, but you actually have to have a manager that, you know, can make the moves. And, you know, and he pushed all the right buttons. He would bring in Keith Falk a little early and stick with him a little bit longer. It was, you know, it was unbelievable job of managing. As far as where do I rank him, I probably couldn't tell you too many managers that would take over him right now.
Wow. I mean, what about Leland? Would you take Leland over him?
I think Leland is the most overrated manager
really?
In the game right now. And I go back to this on 2006 with the Tigers. The 2006 Tigers were a great team. Yeah. They were head and shoulders above the Cardinals, and the Cardinals came in and kicked their butts 4-1. I to this day, it blows my mind that people rank Leland as high as they do. I think Leland is so beyond overrated. Last year against the Giants, they had the better team.
Yeah.
And you have the best pitcher in the game. And they, you know, got beat by the Giants and handily.
That's true.
It goes all the way back to Pittsburgh with them.
I was going to say 97 World Series as well. You look at that, our Indians team compared to that Marlins team.
Yeah.
What else can you say?
Yeah. I don't disagree with you. What are you saying? Leland was the coach of the Marlins.
I know.
They won.
I wouldn't bring that up because that's the only time he's ever freaking won it.
Yes.
And it's against the Indians.
Well, but let's be honest.
That's how it always is.
I think the Indians somewhat overachieved that season.
Well, they did, yeah. They were the wild card team, weren't they?
No, Marlins. Well, the Marlins, yeah, they were. Well,
no, but the Indians were too.
No, Indians won the Central.
Really?
Yeah.
They only
went
like 80-some games.
The Indians have never won the wild card.
Really? I thought they were only like 88 and something that year. But even if they were that, they might have still won the division because the division wasn't that good back then.
It was, yeah, they didn't have, you know, 95-esque season.
Yeah.
But they were still in first.
Yeah.
But you also got to look at the other teams in the Central back in 97.
Do you see the look in his eye? He is like ready to jump off the chair.
Yeah, he's getting ready. A little too feisty.
We didn't know that we had a pit bull over the corner, Danny. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was not my invite.
Yeah. This is amazing. Adam,
I told you I hate the Red Sox.
All right, let's kick off the trash talk
then.
Well,
let's
go.
Let's talk a little bit. Yeah, so, I mean,
Hold on. Can we make Nick the scorekeeper?
And the, I'll be the referee.
You'll be the ref. He's the scorekeeper. Okay. Right corner, left corner.
So, Adam, first of all, what is your problem with the ref? I mean, I think, Danny, everybody thinks of the Red Sox as the people that before they won their first World Series in the 2000s that were, you know, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Woe is us. And coming from Cleveland, that's even worse because it's taken so long for us to even get to a World Series.
Well, what I'll say is this. It's extremely frustrating for me because everyone acts like it's been all, you know, rainbows and unicorns for the Red Sox. That it's been, you know, every year it's 100 wins and it's always fun for me. And it's not. Okay. You know, you even go back to the 86 World Series, the 90s, like I said, the 90s were brutal. The Indians absolutely owned the Red Sox. And I'm the first one to say that. And, you know, being a Red Sox fan in this area in the 90s, it sucked. It sucked. Going to the games sucked because the Red Sox found a way to lose or the Indians found ways to win. And, you know, trust me, I've been there for plenty of them. So, yeah, have I had my share of joy? No doubt. 2004, 2007. You know, there are times I, you know, said I will never see. After 2003, after Boone hits that home run, okay, Red Sox are winning Game 7, you know, against the Yankees in the ALCS, and Boone hits the home run, and I'm like, I woke up the next day, and I said to myself, well, just accept facts. You're never going to see a World Series winner, you know, your lifetime, and I started to accept that, huh. You know. So before you want to get on me on it, yeah, it hasn't always been perfect for me. So, all right, go ahead.
All right, here we go. I'll give him a lot of credit because he does talk about 95. Because when you hear quote unquote Red Sox fans, they go, have pity for us. We had the 86 World Series. Because the Red Sox won it my freshman year of high school, the first time. And that's where I really started to hate them. Because in my eyes, if you compare them, and I wrote a blog about this, I think it actually is posted on our website at warpathpodcast.com. If not, it will be on there shortly. But the Red Sox were like the quiet girl in school, and the Yankees was that, you know, biatch, basically. You know, the Yankees have been who they were forever. They have always been the schoolyard bully. And you have to respect them for that. They are who they are. As I said, the Red Sox were like the quiet petite kid who, you know, got picked on for years and years just to hate the bully. One World Series title, they become that bully. They're spending money. They're getting national attention. So it's all these. I don't even know if it's as much as I've been a diehard Red Sox fan for life, or if it's more I hated the Yankees forever. So now you have these huge Red Sox fans from all over the nation. You go out to like Utah, you see license plate frames of Boston Red Sox. It got ridiculous, and it just became like the cool Yankees, but we're not the Yankees. So you can't hate us because we're not supporting the Yankees, but yet we're supporting this high market team at the same time. So it was very hypocritical, and then it just got out of hand. You know, it was just ESPN every night. Did they deserve the broadcast? Absolutely. You know, good baseball deserves to be aired. But the fans that were going around rocking their Duke shirts, rocking their Red Wings jerseys, rocking... You know what I'm saying?
Because Danny's a Duke fan, too. That's the best
perfect
thing ever.
Perfect. Oh, perfect.
I about fell out of my chair.
Yeah,
right there.
That was... I was like, had to check myself. I'm like, is that wearing my Duke shirt?
But that's exactly what it is. You know, you have these front-running teams. I'm sorry, Anthony, but the Steelers are like the Red Sox in football. It's very similar to that. They won the Super Bowl, and then that went national as well.
But here's the difference.
Here's the difference.
Well, it's not trash talk for Steelers.
But the difference is with the Steelers and the Red Sox, we don't notice that as much in Cleveland because we're bordering Pennsylvania. We're miles and states away from Massachusetts. So it's more noticeable when the guy across the street is rocking his Red Sox gear that, you know, noticed 7 months before was in a completely other team jersey. So it became the Yankees that were not the evil empire.
Well, Danny even admitted it, that the reason why he likes the Red Sox is because they had a good player named Roger Clemens. That was the whole start of it all.
But you know, the difference is he picked up on them when they were losing, and I'll give him credit for that. You know, you start liking a losing team compared to you start liking a team that had not even a World Series win, but one of the greatest series in baseball, not even baseball, but in sports history.
You're talking about 2004?
We're talking 2004, yes.
Yeah.
You know, because that's one of those stories. The Red Sox can win it every single year. No one's going to remember every series as much as they're going to remember how 04 went, especially the American League Championship Series.
I will. I remember all the series. Well, yeah, because I remember the negative, and I do remember the positive.
But on a national standpoint, though.
Right, right. Well, you know, one thing, and kind of divert a little bit on the trash talk. One, if you think about the Red Sox and Indians, though, I mean, you go back to 95, you know, you had the series there. But it's more than that. It's there's been several, you know, from the front office to the managers to the even the players. I mean, there have been several who have been with the Red Sox who went to the Indians. Several have gone. I mean, they've done a lot of back and forth between them. And obviously, I mean, like I said, you look at Farrell. I mean, you know, Farrell was an Indian. You know, Farrell was in the Indians front office. You know, Francona was in the Indians front office, went to the A's, went to the Red Sox, now to the Indians.
Yep.
You know, and
Phillies,
then
Phillies. You said A's.
Well, no, he after the Phillies, he got fired from the Phillies, he went to the A's as the bench coach.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And actually he went after he got fired from the Phillies, he went to the Indians front office, and then from the Indians front office, then he went to the A's. And then that's when the Red Sox got him, you know, before 04. But, you know, even like Mike Avilas. Mike Avilas was a player for the Red Sox the last couple years that I loved Mike Avilas because, you know, he's not the superstar, but he's the guy you plug in, you put him at second, you put him at short, you put him at third. He's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to help you. And then you even go back further, Mike Avilas was traded for John Farrell last year, you know, to the Blue Jays. You know, so, there's so many, you know, and Ben Cherington, GM of the Red Sox, used to be in the front office with the Indians under John Hart. There's just so many, you know, and, you know.
Intermingled.
Yes. And, you know, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, and Louis Tiant, you can go that far.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we could probably sit here for, you know, for a couple
hours. Speaker.
Well, yeah. I was going to say.
There you go. The Gray Eagle.
Yeah, because as I said on probably, God, 5-6 episodes ago, Tris Speaker won the World Series with the Red Sox twice. Then came to the Indians and won in 20, and that's what we're hoping for
our
here.
Second podcast, I believe.
Yeah.
Actually, another one, Dennis Eckersley.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, we could sit here for
El Presidente?
No, he was
never
Montreal.
A Red Sox.
Yeah, he was Montreal.
I thought he played for Red Sox.
Manny Ramirez.
Ooh, yeah.
Our boys down in
Johnny Damon.
So, wait, watching Manny. Yeah, Johnny Damon. Watching Manny.
Derek Lowe.
Where do you think he ranks on as a. You know, on a scale of best hitters of all time?
It's tough for me because...
At least in the newer age, because we haven't really seen, you know, Babe Ruth and all those guys play.
I mean, I'm a guy that, you know, I the whole PED thing, you know, and I know that everyone, you can't sit here and, you know, nail everybody and say who was on it, who was not, and you can speculate. But, I mean, Ramirez has tested positive a couple times.
Yeah.
Whether that started, you know, pre-Red Sox, post-Red Sox, as a Red Sox, I don't know. So I kind of have a hard – I hate watching him over the time that I watch him. Probably one of the three to five best right-handed hitters I've seen in my lifetime.
Yep, me too. And I think the funny thing is about Manny, he's just so dumb.
Yes.
That – he didn't even care if he would strike out or anything, or if, you know, from pitch to pitch, it was like it was a clean slate, and he just go up there and he's like, see ball, mash ball. Yep. That's what he was thinking every time.
Yep.
And if he struck out, oh well, next time he'd come up and crush a homer.
Yeah.
He just, you know, he didn't have the mental problem where, oh, he wasn't thinking, oh, I think he's going to throw a curve on this pitch and it's probably going to be low and outside. He's just waiting for it to come and he's going to smash it.
I've said it before in my book. Prettiest swing.
Yeah.
Prettiest swing from a ball.
Right-handed
player.
Hitter, yep.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So,
you know, I will give, you know, I don't want to give credit where credit's due or anything, but I do. The thing is that I respect the Red Sox for is the fact that they, including the Indians and the Tigers and the White Sox, are the four remaining teams from the American League charter. You don't have that often. You can't, you know, how often do you even say that? because the
four times.
Yeah, well, four times, but the four other teams that were on that original charter are no longer there. Like Washington Senators, I think Philadelphia A's were on there. I can't think of the other two, but the Yankees aren't even on there. You know, and that is a huge novelty when you go back so many years and years and years, you still have those two teams playing versus each other. And my grandmother, who I brought up on the show many times, when I went to see my uncle in 2011, we went to Salt Lake City, and he was telling me baseball stories, and he was, God, probably 1953, 54, sometime before my mom was born, was just so excited because the Red Sox with Ted Williams were in town, and he begged my grandfather for tickets, and he got tickets, but he took my grandmother instead, and my uncle was just so bummed. Because my grandmother came back and she goes, oh, that Ted Williams, I don't know the big deal. All they did was walk him. And if you knew anything about Ted Williams, he's a Red Sox walk leader? Like, he was up there.
Yeah.
He was notorious for that because people would pitch around him.
Right.
So the historic, you know, stories like that, I do love. You know, if we talk about modern, I'm saying modern as in 1995 and current with the modern playoff system. We had some great series together. 95, 99, well, yep. 98, 99,
yep.
And 2007. Maybe we'll say 13 this year. You know, we can only hope and pray. But the one thing I do have on you that we talked about in the lobby is last year, almost a year ago to the day, it was a few weeks ago, I got to see the Cleveland Indians play in Fenway. One of the greatest moments of my life. Now, would you like to share your Fenway experience?
That's it right there.
He's never been to Fenway.
Oh, man.
I will give this. Danny is not a traveler by any means.
Right. Well, I mean, let me just tell you this. And, you know, I haven't been there, but let me just tell you. After, it's kind of a personal thing, after the 2004 World Series, and I'll say this because when the day comes when the Indians do win, I have so many people that I can't wait to see what the reaction is. My reaction was this. I may have had a few bottles of champagne, maybe a few too many beers after the game. I went on MLB.com, and anything that said Red Sox World Series, I did one, add to basket, one, add to basket, one, add.
He did.
The next morning, I woke up.
Oh, my God.
I checked my basket, and I was at about $5,000.
You didn't buy it, though?
At that point, I kind of cleared up a little bit. I probably knocked off about $3,000 because everything was a pre-order because nothing was done. To this day, like, I still have that year, like, anything that said Red Sox World Series or anything, I purchased. Now, what I'm doing is, and this is kind of costly, I'm purchasing autographed World Series baseballs from 2004. I'm trying to get every single player that I can. So,
that's cool.
Now, the amazing thing is my buddies and I, we just love his wife because we used to go over to Danny's house all the time. And so we had five of us that would always hang out. And we'd go out, hang out, and then crash at either Danny's house or our buddy Dave's house or our buddy Chris's house. Never at my apartment because it was crazy. But we would crash there. And at Danny's house, you'd wake up in the morning. And it was almost like in The Hangover when Ed Helms wakes up and your head is just spinning. You look around and like things are just like, holy crap, what happened? I think there was actually one point where one of us was. And but you're looking around and you like see like Petey, Pedro Martinez, and then you see over in another corner somebody else, and then some Kiss dolls, and then more Boston Red Sox things, and you're like, oh my God, where did I wake up? And it was in Boston Wonderland, and his wife is, where are they at now, in the basement?
Everything's in the basement.
Yeah.
Well,
the man cave?
No, because I don't have it.
And the storage unit.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much, but if you've ever seen the movie Fever Pitch, that's based loosely on my life. Like,
he had little caricatures, little baseball dolls, little. I mean, there was the cardboard cut. Was it Pedro or
I have Nomar?
You have Nomar. That's right. And weren't you trying to get your son's name to be Nomar?
That I actually, to be honest with you, and I got her concede, I had Nomar as the middle name. And it was going to be Nomar. And then we battled on the girl part of it. So I was like, you know what? Because I want a girl name. She want a girl name. I was like, and I thought it was going to be a girl. So I gave in. I was like, you know what? You know, let me have the girl name and you can have the boy's middle name, thinking that I was going to get the girl. And then it was a boy. So it didn't end up being Nomar. But to this day, yeah, I do look back on that. And I wish I would have stuck to my guns and, you know, and yeah, went with Nomar.
It's kind of, we kind of wish we would have known Megan before before a long time ago, because now our wives aren't going to let us sleep over at each other's houses.
No.
It would be a little weird. Last time, it's all gone. All gone. Well, we made it in about 10 minutes of the 20-minute trash talk. Adam, you're looking like you deflated a little bit, like you eased up. You're
deflated?
Little...
No, no. I mean,
you got more?
I don't. I mean, you have questions? Like, just fuel the fire.
Only thing I want to say in the trash talk is I have no, like, facts to back anything up or anything, but I just hate with a passion Jonathan Papelbon. That's all I want to say. He's just a piece of shit. If he's going to dance his little stupid dance.
Yeah, but look at his career now, though. Look at his career now.
I know. There you go. But, you know, he did that little dance in 2007, and I just wanted to go on the field and punch him.
That July series in 07, I had these thick glasses on purpose, looking like Rick Vaughn. And that's before they had replica Rick Vaughn glasses.
Yeah.
So I was rocking them. And he's out there goofing around during batting practice and whatnot. And there's Red Sox fans from God knows where. Probably all from, like, you know, from here. You know,
yeah,
the front runners and stuff. And
as he points to me.
Yeah. But I yelled at him. I'm like, throw me a ball, throw me the ball. And, he's goofing on me. And I literally yelled, this is my house, throw me the ball. And he did. And I have the ball to prove it. I can bring it next time.
That's
no
kidding.
Cool. So at least he
so you made him your bitch, basically.
And I also joked saying I looked like Rick Vaughn, and he laughed at that. But, I mean, at least he respected the fact that it was my house. And
yeah, that's
like,
true.
All right, well, touche.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, though, this weekend, Carl Willis.
Yeah.
What, you got...
What you talking about, Carl Willis?
You got a ball or something from him?
No, I didn't just get a ball. I got King Felix. I got his warm-up ball. The one that he was warming up with in the bullpen before the game.
So, Danny, just to kind of break it down in case you didn't hear, I think it was the last episode.
Okay.
Adam used to sit out by the bullpen and talk to Carl Willis.
Okay.
And make friends with him. He had a What You Talking About Willis t-shirt.
No, a sign. Sign. I had a jersey shirt, too.
Yeah, Willis jersey shirt. So he was boys with Willis. He knows Bruce Chen.
I don't know Bruce Chen. I know someone else who knows Bruce Chen.
He knows that knows Bruce
Chen.
Okay.
We'll just go with that. Like, yeah, we'll just go there. That's it on that.
This guy has pictures with... Who was it that was opening up their car during a game?
Carlos Carrasco
was...
I partied with a Struble. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm a big deal.
I was going to say, you're kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's like Forrest Gump in Cleveland. You just end up in the right place at the right time.
Well, you know, so we've got the Red Sox coming up here after this. Well, wait a minute. We've got the Tigers and then...
Red Sox starting Thursday.
And the Tigers are currently winning in the first.
Son of a motherless. how do you see this going against the Reds, or with the Red Sox and Indians? You guys have Dempster, Lackey, Lester, and DuBrant pitching. We've got McAllister, Masterson, Kazmir, and Kluber.
What's a four game?
Yeah. Dempster's absolutely garbage. I hated the signing.
He's going against McAllister.
Yeah, that's gonna be a 12-10 game possibly. I hated the Dempster signing at the time. He's lived up and exceeded everything that I thought he was going to be and more. he's a nice National League pitcher. He has no business being in the American League. Absolutely horrible signing. You know what? I feel that I'm pretty objective. And I can tell you when my guys suck. And, you know, I can tell you when the opponents, you know, are good. I'm going to say it's going to be a split.
Split?
You know, like I said, not to sit here and sit on the fence about it, but I just think at the end of the day, I think the way the matchups are, you know, because the Indians won't see Buchholz. He's going tonight.
I think you're probably right. I mean, I think McAllister will take Dempster. I think Masterson will take Lackey.
Okay.
And then... Lester's going to get Kazmir. and DuBrant. It's DuBrant versus Kluber.
It's going to be another high scoring. But
it's going to be high scoring. It's just bullpen right there.
The one thing that I'll tell you on this with Kazmir, going back to his Tampa Bay days, I mean, he owned the Red Sox. Like, there, it was so frustrating because it was back when Tampa Bay was not good. And Tampa Bay would throw Kazmir out there, and the Red Sox would, they would have no shot.
That's
so
what, he did the same thing against the Indians, and that's what I said when we signed him. I'm like, I'm kind of excited because if he gets anywhere near what he used to do against us, he's going to be a good signing.
Okay, well, you changed my mind, Danny. We're going to go 3-1 against the Red Sox.
Oh. Okay.
Adam, what do you see happening?
I was actually hoping for a split as well, just because I'm being real with the last two starts of Kazmir and Kluber. And we're also on the road. Four-game set on the road in Fenway. You go 50-50 on it, it's a good series.
Yeah, I take it. Nick?
I'll take a split.
Yep. You'll take a split? Well, I'm going to stay with the 3-1. But that's just because I've got to.
The last
we have something to talk about next time we go out with our wives and Chris and his wife.
Well, so. The last time we all predicted a 4-game series, we all said, you know, sweep in 4.
And then we
had like 2 rainouts and
no, that's not true. The last time we predicted a series was against the Athletics 2 weeks ago.
No, that was the remaining 2 games though.
Yeah, that's all right.
But the full 4,
we did that for
the Yankees and we got crushed.
Yeah.
Alan was the only one that got that right, so major props to
you. Nobody got it because nobody predicted the rainouts.
Yeah, that's true. There you go. That's true, but Alan Fee did say that the Yankees are still the Yankees.
Yep.
So, you know, so we've got the Sox coming up, then we've got the Reds, so another interstate battle.
Battle of Ohio.
Reds, pretty good team.
I think it'd be pretty cool if we ever played the Reds in the World Series.
Hey, Atlanta had to go through Ohio to win in 95. That was the closest it was going to be.
That would be awesome.
That's true. That's true. I how do you guys see that one? I haven't paid as much attention to the Reds. I know
they're doing pretty darn good.
That's going to be another split. I think it's going to go 1-1 in Cincinnati and 1-1 in Cleveland.
All right. And then the Rays.
That one might be, we might have the upper hand on that one. I'm thinking at least 2, maybe 3.
All right. I'll take that 2 or 3.
That would rock. That was rock.
That was rock. Holy crap. I think I'm getting to the point of the podcast where I need to just turn it over to Nick.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah.
Do you always do that?
No, never. But
I don't think you've ever done that.
I don't think so. But, so then we get on to, we were going to talk to Mike from 529 about the app. But once again, Mike is in the military and is roaming around the country protecting us. And that makes me feel better that he'll be in here.
He'll be in here one of these days and he'll talk tribe. He's a big fan.
He's the first one to always like or like something on Facebook or retweet us. He's right there with us. But, a few weeks ago we did the trivia for called the DP Trivia Challenge.
Was that the Danny Prenzo?
That was the Danny Prenzo Trivia Challenge.
Challenge.
I was gonna say, and, you got to be careful when you say DP Challenge. Let me just, never mind.
Oh, boy.
Well, I want to know what he meant.
I was going to say, I didn't know where that's
He's
going.
He's probably going to have to tell us off air.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mouth it. Oh, that was not okay. All right, yeah, not we'd be explicit if we did that. So because we've got DP, the DANNYP in here, he was telling me as we were walking in that he has a new DP trivia challenge, kind of an extension of the last one. So
yes.
Let's go. What's that?
Just, never mind. We'll talk later. Don't worry about it. Well, never mind.
What did I do?
Just continue the show.
All right. So, Danny, why don't you go ahead and reel it off?
Okay. I don't know how far you guys got on the first part of that from 1988. The 1988 Indians team has spawned 5 current Major League managers. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how you're doing it, if you're opening it up to you guys or how you're doing this, but even further to extend that, there are 3 other guys on that team who are currently in the majors as coaches.
All right. Adam, you got any idea on it? Or I know one of them.
No, but I can tell you that, I have a bit of an... I know a lot of them. Can't name all of them. But I will say, and I found this out last night, that Rod Allen, Tigers broadcaster, was on that team as well.
Oh, wow. Nick, you have any ideas?
No clue.
Well, we'll open this up to the Warpath Podcast listeners. I won't promise a poster.
Please don't.
I'll promise a Warpath Podcast bumper sticker.
There you go.
Because I've got about 30 of those sitting in my car right now. So first person on Facebook to post who the three current coaches that were on the 1988 Cleveland Indians roster were. We'll get a Warpath Podcast bumper
88?
Sticker.
88? Was one of them Sandy Alomar?
No.
Mm. He was not around then.
When was he, 89?
No, he won Rookie of the Year in 90, right?
Okay.
I believe it was 90. Yeah.
So,
because Joe Carter was on the 88 team.
Mm. Yeah. So, all right, so we're opening that up there. So, Danny, how do you feel after this? Was it you got a little bruise under your right eye, but...
No, it was good. It was good baseball, and I appreciate you guys having me, and I appreciate the hospitality. I appreciate the beer. one other thing that I did, one more shameless thing, and I'll put it out there because I do want help on this. So whether people are listening and want to, get it to you or you guys want to tell me. My other collection that I'm working on are mini helmets autographed from the best player from every team from the year that I was born on. Whoa. So it could be a player.
What year? Would you like to announce that? 1989.
Yep, 1989. So, 1975. So, it's best player or pitcher, and the criteria is this.
Yeah, how do you get objective with that?
I've got six of them already. I don't have my Indians one, so that's where I need help.
That's AC McGloxer. My 1975 alter ego. I will show you the baseball card. I'll post that on our website.
Okay. The criteria is this. Their time with that team. So you can't take the 20 other teams that Lofton or Tomey played for. If you want to say Lofton, you have to base it off of Lofton's time, his five times or whatever.
The duration of the stay with the team.
Correct. And like I said, it could be a pitcher. It could be a player. So I need help with that as well. I've had... probably the most popular. I mean, I've got Tomey. I've got Albert Bell. I think those are probably two of the more popular that the people have thrown. But like I said, I need your guys' help on this.
1975, who was the best player for the Cleveland Indians?
From 1975 all till the present way
through
day.
Present.
To present day.
Mm. That's a whole show in itself right there.
One player for every year.
Well, no.
Of that duration, who's the best player from 75 to now?
Yeah, who's the Indians' best player?
Gonzalez.
In my lifetime,
A.R. Diaz.
Oh, in your lifetime? I thought you meant every year, who's the best player.
No, I'm doing every team, okay? I mean, but every team's going to have, I'm going to have one autographed helmet from each team from the best player from 1975 on. And for example, the ones that I have, like right now, for the A's, I have Ricky Henderson.
That is absolutely true. Because you can't go with McGuire or Canseco. That is a great answer.
Buccos, do you go Barry Bonds?
Well, I mean, obviously it is going to be Bonds.
No, I mean, but in the late 70s, you've got...
Roberto.
Roberto Clemente.
Well, and obviously I don't know that I'm going to be able to get that.
Yeah. No.
So. No, we've got people in Pittsburgh. I mean,
Yeah, but on a little mini helmet?
Well, yeah, you can't get that. That's...
Nice.
That's you.
I'm showing everybody my alter ego, AC McGloxer.
Post that on our Facebook page.
Charlie Hustle.
I will.
Yeah, it will be.
Admin on that, You could post anytime you want.
Real mutton chops. I just want to put that on record. Real mutton chops.
All those photos that you have of all those players and stuff like that,
on the
put
Facebook
them on
page.
Our Facebook
okay.
page.
Okay, yeah.
Because you can do that anytime.
I mean, real quick, though. So we just said Cincinnati would be Charlie Hustle.
Yes.
Phillies.
Ooh. Phillies would be Mike Schmidt.
Sox. Who's your Red Sox?
It's no doubt about it. It's Pedro.
Pedro over really? Roger Clemens.
Pedro over Nomar?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, there's no...
To Danny, nobody over Petey.
But
Pedro
that's the
was
thing, though.
Dominant.
I was going to say.
Hall of Famer for
what
sure.
What do you think happens if he got traded from Montreal to Cleveland instead of the Red Sox?
The Indians have at least one World Series.
Oh, I agree. I think two.
I was going to say, I'm saying a minimum of one, yes. Yeah. No doubt the Indians have. Yeah.
That's what we needed was
at least
the
one.
I mean, imagine that Jarrett Wright was what we wouldn't give up for Petey. And that actually, I saw the Rally Alley, one of the Rally Alleys, Jarrett Wright's going to be there.
Oh, boy.
I saw Chad OJ. Chad OJ looks nothing at all like what I thought he would. That dude is a big, bad-looking mother.
Let me tell you something. OJ almost went down in Indians history as one of the most important players we've ever had because he almost single-handedly won two games in the 97 World Series.
Yeah.
The one game he had two hits and scored, I think he had two RBIs or something like that, and he was the pitcher. So yeah. it ended up 4-0 or something like that, and he won the game.
Wow.
And then he won another game. So
here's a guy I'm thinking about for Danny from the Indians, and that Omar Vizquel.
That's a good one. I would have to go Tomy, though.
I would vote Tomy.
Yeah.
But you think of how many games did Omar save with his glove.
Yeah, but you think of the 600 club. Like, my dad and I had this conversation.
Do it in the voice.
Well, this is more me talking to my dad nodding. You know, you have Willie Mays, you have Babe, you have, you know, seven or six other guys. You have Rodriguez, you have Sosa, and you have Bonds, immediately roided. In modern day, so you have Willie Mays, you have Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, but in the 90s, all you have is Griffey and Tomy, two of the greatest of all time. Enough said.
All right.
I'd have to go Tomy, too.
That's
pretty
good. I can't think of any pitchers.
I mean,
we had CC and Cliff Lee, but they had a couple good years that were great.
Yeah, Charlie Nagy was good, but he wasn't.
No, he's not even close.
Nah. Mm-mm. Nah, so yeah, it might have to be Tomy.
Mesa.
Joe Table. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up here. Don't forget to put that on Facebook, and we'll get it to Danny P. of top tri player from 75 to 2013. But again, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Danny, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
As always, it's a pleasure talking sports with you. And this is the first time I think we've gotten to talk sports without, you know, Chris just going nuts on something you say.
So. Yeah.
This is pretty good.
I just want to put on record, no hard feelings.
None whatsoever.
He's a great guy, but I do tell you, you got to go to Fenway. You have to go to Fenway.
He's gone. Nick, thank you. Adam, thank you. This is Warpath Podcast, uploaded to the internet, downloaded into your hearts.
We're on the Warpath.
Go Tribe.